My text for this evening is found in chapter 8 that we read and verse 10. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Egypt had been the home of the Israelites for centuries. And what had started out as a refuge for them from that time of famine had become a prison to them. They had become enslaved. They'd grown mighty and strong and numerous, but they were slaves. They had their freedoms restricted. And Satan had used Pharaoh in that cosmic battle to try and to destroy God's promise. God's promise of a saviour was to come through a descendant of Abraham. And God had a plan, and he'd announced the plan. And Satan, as he ever does, seeks to stop God in his plans. And Satan had stirred up the heart of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had set about destroying the firstborn, the male child of every Hebrew family. But it had failed. It had failed, and the people grew strong, and Pharaoh worked the people harder. God raised up Moses. Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, the Lord God instructs you to let his people go, that they might go out and worship him, that they might offer a sacrifice to the Lord God. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I don't know him. Moses said to Pharaoh, you shall know who the Lord is. You have treated his firstborn badly, wrongly. You have killed the Lord's firstborn. And if you do not let his people go, then your firstborn will be killed also. There's a promise in Scripture concerning Israel that those that bless them will be blessed, and those that curse them will be cursed. And Pharaoh, having killed the Lord's firstborn, would see later his firstborn killed also. It happened in Germany not 100 years ago. The Germans ill-treated the Jewish people. They had their economic freedom taken away. They were rounded up, put behind concrete walls and barbed wire. And if any of them tried to escape, they were gunned down. But not many years after that, in Germany, economic freedom was taken away. A concrete wall was put up, barbed wire was put on top of that, and any trying to escape from one side to the other were gunned down. Pharaoh had destroyed the Lord's firstborn, and shortly his firstborn would also be destroyed. But Moses comes to Pharaoh with this statement, let my people go. And Pharaoh didn't. And so a plague came on the land. And the first plague was that the river Nile, was to be turned to blood. It went blood red, and all the river, the streams, and all the water of the land turned red. And Pharaoh called on Moses to get this plague to go away. And Moses entreated the Lord, and the river returned to normality. But Pharaoh did not let the people go. And so, secondly, Moses comes again and he says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, or else there will be frogs in the land." And Pharaoh didn't listen. And so frogs came on the land. This second plague, like all of the other plagues, was all-encompassing. There were frogs everywhere. An Egyptian could not take a step forward without standing and squashing a frog. They could not get in their bed, for under the bed sheets, under the bed covers, there were frogs. They could not take a meal without frogs crawling all over that food. Even when they opened the oven, there were frogs there. The plague was all-encompassing. It was everywhere. It could not be escaped. Something like that in our land with this plague. It dominates the news. It dominates every action that we take. Our behaviour has had to adapt to this plague. It's everywhere. There's constant reminders of it. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians grew tired quickly. Life became almost impossible and unbearable. This plague of frogs. Not particularly pleasant creatures, frogs. They're not warm, they're not fluffy, they're not furry, they're not cute. They're everywhere. Slime, unpleasant feeling, disgusting in many ways. The frogs were everywhere. Each of the plagues that came on Egypt attacked a god that the Egyptians had. The Egyptians had many, many gods. They had a god of the river, and the river god could do nothing about the fact that she had become blood red. They had a god of fertility with the head of a frog, but that god could not remove the frogs from the land. They were everywhere. Everywhere an Egyptian went, even in the palace, Pharaoh could not escape the frogs. And so Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron to come before him. And he says, "Entreat the Lord, entreat the Lord." He now acknowledges that there is a Lord God. And he says, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs." And Moses puts a question to Pharaoh, "When shall I do this? When shall I get the Lord to take away the frogs?" You see, when the river had turned to blood previously, it turned back to water. And maybe Pharaoh got thinking, "Well, it's just a freak occurrence. I did ask Moses and Aaron to get rid of the blood-red water, but maybe that would have happened anyway. Maybe there is no Lord God. Maybe it was just coincidence, a chance, that they didn't really have the power to take away that blood-red water." And so Moses foresees that Pharaoh could be thinking on these lines. And he says, "You, Pharaoh, have the honour of saying when the frogs will go. When, Pharaoh, would you like this to happen?" Well, our text is Pharaoh's answer to that question. And he said, tomorrow. And isn't this extraordinary? Pharaoh is in immense discomfort. He's probably not eaten. He's missed many meals. He's probably not slept because of frogs. Everywhere he goes, frogs are making his life unbearable and uncomfortable and almost impossible. And there's an opportunity here for that to be immediately resolved, for the problem to immediately disappear. But when asked why and when would this happen, he requests that it happens tomorrow. And I'd like really to address this evening's message to someone who has the same mindset that Pharaoh had here. And hopefully Pharaoh's example can serve as a warning to you and cause you not to be so foolish as Pharaoh. Maybe you have heard God speak to you before. Events in your life have shown you that there is a God. There's been things that you've not been able to escape. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you go, there's a constant reminder of sin and of the judgment that can come because of that sin. Like frogs everywhere in Pharaoh's palace. Maybe you've had God speak to you before. You've heard messages from this book. You've heard the prayers of friends and relatives. Life circumstances have affected you and shown you that there is a God and there is a judgment and that it is inescapable. And in your heart, you know that you need saving. You know that you need deliverance. You know that you can't do that for yourself. Pharaoh could not get rid of the frogs himself. He had wise men. He had magicians and sorcerers. He had the whole wisdom of the world at that time. But he couldn't get the frogs to disappear. He knew that he needed external help with this problem. And yet, he wanted to retain some measure of control. There was pride in his heart to such an extent that he wouldn't immediately ask that this problem would be removed. When shall I entreat the Lord for you, Pharaoh? Pharaoh, you can have this honour, that you would know that it's not by chance, that it's at God's word and at God's timing. Pharaoh, when? Pharaoh could have proved beyond all measure of a doubt that there was a God and he did what he said. If he'd just said, do it now, do it immediately. The stubbornness and the pride in his heart fixed that time to be the next day. When shall I do this? And he said, tomorrow. And so back to you. Maybe you have known and experienced what it is in your heart and in your soul to know that you need saving, that you have sin that needs to be dealt with. You know that there's nowhere else to go to have that sorted. And yet you've put off coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've delayed it. You've said, I know that I need to be saved. I know that I need to be delivered. But I will do it tomorrow. Or maybe I'll do it when I'm somewhat older. At the moment, it's not convenient. At the moment, it would cause embarrassment. It would cause me disruption. I will be saved, but tomorrow. Moses said, according to your word, that you may know that there is a God, that there's none like our Lord and our God, the frogs shall depart from you. And so the next day the frogs went, they died, and the Egyptians had to gather them up, collect them, scrape them out, and they made great heaps of frogs, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he didn't hearken to them, as the Lord had said. You see, the longer you delay in coming before God, the longer that you leave it, the harder it becomes. With each successive plague, Pharaoh would come and ask that the plague would be removed. And when it was removed, he went back on what he had said. His heart became even harder. It became even more difficult and tough. And if you keep delaying and putting off and pushing back, coming before God, it will get harder and harder. And it may be that God will no longer give you an opportunity. For Pharaoh, there came a time when it was too late, where God would no more give Pharaoh opportunities. Pharaoh just had final judgment. Don't delay. Don't push back. The Bible says that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I have a book here full of promises. It promises that all who come shall be saved. It promises that there is no sin too great, that all can be forgiven. Promises that God is ever willing to forgive, that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that wishes that all would repent and come to him. A book full of promises. But there's one promise I cannot make. I cannot tell you that if you come tomorrow, you will be saved. I can only tell you that if you come now, come now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God in his mercy may grant that tomorrow, but I have no assurance of that. You have no assurance that there'll be a tomorrow. You need to come today. Don't have the pride in your heart that Pharaoh had. Contrast Pharaoh to that thief on the cross next to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. His blood was being shed, with a thief on one hand and on the other hand. And one thief mocks the Lord Jesus, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." And yet there'd been a change in heart very recently in the other thief. He says, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you're in the same condemnation?" And then that thief turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I can say to you this evening, if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, ask that he would forgive your sin, then today you can be made right with him. And I pray that you would do that. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't retain a measure of pride that sees that these things are true, that knows that these things are true, but has that pride to say, "Not now, tomorrow." Amen.